Hey, Peter.
Hey, hello, Kalila.
How are you?
Pretty good yourself. I'm gonna swing this
Okay.
camera around since this is kind of the office hours view of things. I'm gonna sit yonder.
Okay. Cool. All right. This could be a very short office hours. We'll see.
That we're both again. Oh, here we go. Because we can do this. That'll work just fine.
Okay.
That's as far as that goes. So, okay. Yep. That'll work. All right. Shall we? Yep. Will do. Thank you.
Thanks.
Check 1, 2, chuckles, chuckles. I'm here.
Don't be here.
Not yet.
Back here charging my device, but I'm here. I exist. Right. I assume you're good with chat monitoring and all that.
Yes.
Alrighty. Alrighty. Maybe I'll just have a good time and have maybe I'll put food here and I'll walk out.
Ah, that'll work.
Oh. Hi, Joe. There you go.
All right. Well, you'll probably can't see me. No, not yet. Who's wandering? Hi, Kalila.
Hey Joe, how are you?
Too bad, how are you?
Good, good. Are you here for a WolfCon lesson or just to say hello?
Well, I figured I would check in. I didn't know if this was just like asking questions or if there was a session. This is
It's
really
just
asking questions and solving problems. Okay, I do have one thing. It's kind of an Alexa thing, but it's a huge deal. Okay. Unless she can already hear me.
one thing, kind of a huge thing, maybe an Alexi deal. But would it be possible if we were to quit assigning release number and year to the release versions in Jira? So instead of, Poppy R2 2023 or whatever, we just call it Poppy or Poppy SP1. Get rid of the date indicator. And the reason for this is in other conversations, in terms of visibility about what we're doing, I think there's a lot of benefit in having public shared lists of these are all the UX prods associated with a given release. And every time we change the name, all those filters break.
I'm writing it down, Joe. I think that's something we should
And
consider. Peter, would go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say it's come up in a couple of sessions that people wish there were more visibility into what we're working on, which we try to do. But every time we change the name of a release, all those filters break, and then all us POs have to go back and rebuild those filters. But from a community engagement perspective, there's a lot of interest in what's going on. So if we could make it so that, I mean, we can mess around with the fixed version or whatever, but have community, have filters that are formal and established. So anytime a UX prod gets attached to a release, there's visibility there. And we're not breaking those filters because I think those are some, have like even on the release page in the Confluence, these are all of the UX prods associated with a given release, and then this is the team working on them. And that would also give us the ability to see, what other teams are working on, so we know who's picking up what. But it would be a small policy change that I think could have massive impact. Anyway, that's my bit of feedback.
Okay. I don't know, Joe, if you're, I mean, I don't know if this is helpful, but I do every release have a dashboard. And I think the way the dashboard is set up, it right now, well, the dashboard is based on features, fixed version. So for the purposes of what recently happened with the filters, I was freed from it messing up my filters. I think it messed up my story filters, though. I'm pretty sure of that. But every release, I create a dashboard to, again, like you're saying, help everyone know what every team is doing. But I agree that given the fact that our releases tend to slide, it's probably best to rethink adding the date value to the release.
Right. The other thing is, though, I think similar, I mean, the dashboards are great, but they're also dev oriented. I think it would also be potentially beneficial to have a dash or to have a just a filter that like a simplified filter that would be on a more community facing, like on the releases page or something like that, or something that's a little more community accessible that can be embedded elsewhere. Just for thoughts, because there, like I said, there have been comments about visibility into what we're doing, and this is a great resource if you know it's there. And I think we could also work on a couple of tools to help the community know what's there.
Yeah. Okay.
Links to some of the like the wiki homepage.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Would this particular dashboard be helpful, Joe, to link to the wiki pages or something like, you know, like this one here? It has all Trillium features by team and their current status. Like, would something like this, you know, I'm sorry, let me expand. Like having this available somewhere, just this one, you know, widget instead of everything. Like, would this be helpful? Or I'd be curious, this is actually something that, you know, obviously could ask other folks or get feedback from other folks, but I'd be interested to know, you know, what's the slice of data that helps tell the story? Because there's a lot here, as you know, Joe, but I don't know if it tells the story in the way that people would like. The best way that we can tell the story right now is by teams, but we could look at ways to tell it by labels that are using like resource access and resource management and ERM labels too.
Yeah, I think this is part of a bigger conversation because people don't necessarily, people in the community don't necessarily know what team or teams are assigned to what. Yeah. So if you're in metadata management, you know, you've got three different teams and I just want to know what's coming in cataloging. Mm-hmm. So, and I think there are ways we could possibly do that with labels. And if I'm the system administrator, I just want to know what's coming so that I can, you know, alert my, like figure it out for myself, just look at a list of UX prods, which I realize can get absolutely huge. I think if we want to get really advanced, we can get rid of, we can ignore UX prods that are things like bug fixes and tech debt UX prods, but you know, anything that's a feature, but that's getting more advanced. So, you know, and I do think we need to have bigger, more conversations probably with the PC about what ought to be exposed, but
well, yeah. So, but I'm going to show you, I'm going to play around with this filter and see if this tells a story you think people would like. So I'm going to pick something that's near and dear to your heart, acquisitions. And I'm going to pick fix version. I got to learn how to spell first. Trillium. So let's, well, folks are, let's pick Sunflower for purposes of this exercise. Gotta get that fixed. So this here could definitely create dashboards or views of boards. And maybe we could do a Kanban board or swim lanes that could show this by the different types, whether it's acquisitions or resource access or metadata management. So this is another view that we could use, could provide folks, and it at this point provides the features, not specific stories. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think there's definite possibilities there. And then we can even go so far as to have labeled is not NFR, just things like that. But yeah, no, I think there are definite possibilities there, definite places to explore.
I think when I went through all of the stories, I think, oh yeah, that's an NFR, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Although sometimes knowing what bugs are fixed are kind of important.
This is true.
Yeah. So I think in this case, we could definitely set it up this way and then allow a PO to decide if there's some additional criteria that needs to be made to show exactly what they're, you know, what they would, you know, like to show. I'm actually going to save this.
Hey, Kalila, I just have a layperson question. What is NFR?
Non-functional requirement. And so sometimes you'll see labels like that on some of our features to it's a way to say, okay, this is new functionality and here are things that we should do, whether it's defects, whether it's karate test updates, end-to-end testing updates, the Vertex stuff, all that kind of is NFRs. Performance testing, all of that is kind of considered NFRs. And so I'll add that label to features so that on my dashboard, I distinguish between new features and good old NFRs.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so I'm going to say sunflower acquisition features. And I'm going to say Joe can change this since Joe brought it up. All right, so that's added. And so yeah, we could, you know, build these out. They'll be really quick because I have filters based on labels, as you can see. We could probably do something like this and then figure out a good view of this. I know, Joe, I know you and Dennis have views of features. You have it's almost like a swim lane where you have your features and then user stories that are associated with the features. We could maybe think of doing a view that's very similar to that, maybe.
Yeah, and I think there's an opportunity. Again, like I said, we could probably talk with the SIGs, talk with the product councils, because really, the goal is just to provide broader visibility to everyone. And, you know, what exactly that looks like is an issue. But I think we can have further conversations about that, and it'll probably involve some iterative back and forth. But at the same time, I think it could definitely be improved.
Yeah, 100%. I also think that, and we've talked about this a little bit, and I've had we should think about revisiting the whole sprint demos. And that also helps tremendously too. Like, you know, that, you know, having those on a regular cadence would also help people be aware much sooner of when things are going to be available, and maybe even point out when maybe something that's going to be available needs a little bit more work before it becomes available. So, I mean, that's another thing. I know that's separate from Jira, but it's definitely a topic that I'd love the community and the PC to think about, is maybe a return to sprint demos.
It's not exactly Jira, but it's definitely Scrum.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so we break our work into two-week sessions called sprints. And according to the methodology we use, every sprint has to have defined, we have defined work, we know what we're going to do, and we have set outcomes. This is all part of Agile. So at the end of the sprint, we have to demo the work we did in the sprint. And so we do that internally. At the very last day of the sprint, we have a meeting with the team where everybody goes through and shows the work they did. And what we're talking about is, this shouldn't be a team meeting. We need to make it a community meeting.
And we used to have them early in the project when things were moving really fast. And it was important for people to keep up with what other parts of the project were doing when we were moving really fast. But they also had a life beyond just the developers. Those sprint demos got seen by the subject matter experts and the libraries. I don't know. I got the sense that it was stressful for some. When the demo became bigger than just the team you were working with, the pressure was there to make it more polished than probably what it needed to be. But they were certainly valuable.
I agree in the value, and I agree that it would be good to figure out a way to bring it back, maybe not in the form it was, like to Peter's point, but maybe in another format. Maybe it's a part of a SIG meeting, you know, maybe it's a recorded session that is published. I mean, there's definitely ways that we can, you know, we can get it, you know, there's definitely the ways that we can rethink bringing back sprint demos, and then again giving people even more exposure to what we're doing.
Yeah, because it came earlier in the process than seeing something in Bugfest or mm-hmm. in a user acceptance test environment. It was earlier than that and allowed for more influence of changes that needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe, you're on a roll. What else you got?
Oh, boy. That was as far as I got on it.
Okay. All right. No, that was helpful. So what I took down, Joe, is like revisiting, maybe, you know, creating a dashboard that is more specific to these core labels that POs and I try to put on the UX prod features. So for folks that are in the meeting, so with the UX prod project, this is where all features are stored in Epix too, but for purposes of this exercise, we're focused on features. I try to add, or the POs try to add labels so that it's easier to find features that tie to a certain area. So the key feature labels we try to put on our features are metadata management. Acquisitions is one. Let me just go back to my filters here. Discovery, consortia are ones I've started to use as well. Platform, sometimes I tie things like reporting and lists and bulk edit under platform because they're not specific to a particular workflow. Resource access, resource management, which includes inventory, for the most part, ERM. And user management. And so I try to add, and then there's NFR ones I label. So I try to, you know, the POs and I try to label all of those features so that we can then create filters that identify, okay, with regard to metadata management, here are all the unresolved features. And what it means is that this is these, well, it means what it means. It means these features haven't been released to the public. And so in the case of metadata management, it's 280. That's a lot. That's a whole lot. And so this is but from this view, I can see here all the unresolved issues of features, their priority, the current status, which tells me a few of these are in progress. And then the teams that are currently assigned to these features, and then the fixed version.
And then you might, which we're talking about removing the,
or the fixed version or release.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Both. This is where things get confusing, Peter. And POs are, and everyone in the room, Joe knows this, but I know the folks in the room probably don't know. With UX prod features, we track by fixed version, not by release. I know that's confusing. I know it's confusing, but it's something that has been the rule with UX prod features from the very beginning. We used fixed version and didn't have the release field. Then the release field was something that was created much later and was decided, okay, we need this for user stories. So if you go to a user story or to a defect, you'll see that we use that release field to say, okay, this user story will be completed in this release. So that's great, right? Yes, it is. Except that we have yet to change to that practice with UX prod. So one, that's why my dashboard didn't break, Joe. And two, it does lend to confusion if you're not, it doesn't make sense. I don't know what else to say here. I mean, you know, in the sense that if you're not familiar with Folio and how we've used Jira, to manage features for a long time, it's very confusing because you're looking at the release and it says, you know, it may say in this case, for this row, for this first one here, it says fixed version Umbrella Leaf, but released none. I assume if you're a person who's not that familiar with how we use Jira and UX prod features, you probably think we're not going to do this work in Umbrella Leaf, but actually we are.
Yeah.
So this is something we'll probably need to revisit. I don't know. We'll have to, probably do some analysis of how many filters break if we change to the release field, but I do know that it does cause a lot of confusion.
Okay. I hadn't appreciated that. Thank you.
It's a process we probably should change. I think it's, you get used to a certain process. You're like, it works. But for new people, it's like, no, it doesn't, because it's confusing.
Lots of inertia. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a list somewhere of labels that we might want to curate or say in order to include in the overall community list, use the following labels so you don't have people doing metadata dash management, or some have consortia, some have ECS. We want to be able to create labels as needed, but for the purpose of community facing dashboards, please use one or more of these labels.
So on the product owner's wiki page, there is a list of the labels that we ask to be used. I think there's one we probably don't use as often. I mean, it probably needs to be updated. I'm looking at this list. Yeah, it probably needs to be updated as far as the cross-platform one goes. But this is typically what folks should follow.
Yeah, we may want to think about updating that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the only one that we may need to look at is cross-platform.
But like ECS isn't in there.
ECS isn't in there, no. Yeah.
We might want to think about adding serials.
Hmm. Versus adding it to acquisitions?
Because not every...
Or something that's distinct, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. some, I mean, not everything in serials will be done by acquisitions. Owen is doing some serial-specific serial stuff, and there may be cataloging or resource access work that is also related to serials. So the people who are interested in serials development might want to know about that.
Okay. I'm putting it in here. We probably can confirm that with Owen. But yeah, that I'm fine with that.
ECS was the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, reporting is another one. Oh, yeah, okay. Good call.
And so ECS, consortia. I know I use ECS. Sometimes I use consortia as labels, but we can, you know, determine if it's okay to continue to use both or pick one. Reporting, I think we could probably just use reporting for that one.
Blindingly obvious labels are generally preferable.
Say that again. Blinding the obvious labels. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my filters kind of are not just specific to like user management. It does try to capture other ones that I've noticed. For example, resource access. My filters don't only look, not only look for resource access, but for circulation. So I my filters try to catch it all. But yeah, we really would love for everyone, for in the case of circulation, just to add resource access to it so that we know it's something that the resource access SIG should review. It's, you know, just easier again to collect that information. But like I mentioned, if folks don't always do that, I do have filters that capture, you know, some of the you know, more popular, you know, some additional terms that are frequently on some of these UX prod features.
Part of what I'm thinking is if you have these set pieces, that it's super easy for the SIGs and working groups just to grab that and link it to their relative.
Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking is align those with largely with SIGs and working groups, and that solves the problem.
Yeah. So I think if we, you know, publish those filters that we're using, one, publish the filters, that makes it available, then come up with a dashboard view so folks can see that. I know many SIGs create their own dashboards. I think it's a good path forward to make sure they're aware. I also think that awareness, you know, I as a lead PO, I could do a better job with the awareness piece and can, you know, determine with the PC what else we could do. But I do think probably it's time to revisit something like a sprint demo.
Yeah.
So if there are other folks in the room, what other things would you like to discuss in our office hours? Oh, Joe is Phil Donahue today, not Peter.
Hi, it's Autumn again.
Hey, Autumn.
Since we're looking at this page, I was wondering if I could get... I have always been mildly confused about how epics and stories and all of that fit together, like the hierarchy.
Mm.
Like, this is a nice little diagram. I think I'm understanding it more. I didn't know this page was here. It's got tons of great info, actually. But if you could walk me through that, maybe with a concrete example, so I could cement it into my brain.
Sure. So I'll tell you, I think the Folio doesn't use epics in the way we should. So I'm going to tell you how a flow that I think in a way that I think we should be using epics in a true agile sense. So an epic represents work that could go across multiple releases, but it's not work that should go across 10 years or 7 years or even 3 years, in my opinion. Like, it should be several, you know, maybe two might be stretching it, but typically an epic just, it represents functionality that will be delivered over a period of time. Example of an epic, I know you work on data import, or you work with Ryan in the areas of data import. So an example of an epic would be, addressing mock modifications. Like, and so, because that's several features. That's not one feature. That's several features. And so that's the epic, enhance mark modifications. I'll keep going with that one. And then you have your feature, and your feature represents the work that you plan to have done in a release. And so in the case of enhanced mark modifications, it might be, improving the handling of repeatable fields. And so that's a feature. And so that's the work that then, Ryan and that team would work on for the release. And that feature is then made up of, is broken down into stories. So the feature is what, Ryan works on to communicate to you and other stakeholders. This is what we're going to work on in this release. And it's not giving you all the details. He's giving you the high level of like what we're working on and why we're working on it. That's what that feature should represent, and that it's going to be a part of this release. And then he works with the team to break them into stories. And then those are the stories that the team then points and determines and then works on in each of the 2-week sprints that Joe mentioned. Does that help?
Thank you. That does help. So as a SME or whatever, if I create my own JIRA about, like, say, an enhancement request, that's going to be at the story level, right? Or is it going to be at the feature level?
It depends.
Okay.
So I mean, I'd recommend putting it at the story level, and then, adding the support label for tracking purposes. Okay. And then that can be discussed with the applicable PO, that the PO may read what you want and say, okay, yeah, we can do, I'll give you an example. Lisa Lorenzo, someone at Michigan State sent me a note and said, hey, there's a field that's not handling subfield A well. So I looked at it and I said, okay, yeah, that's a story.
Okay.
But if she had said, I really want a subfield A to now do A, B, C, and D, I might have said, okay, Lisa, that's probably a feature.
Okay, got it. So features may still have multiple components that need to be broken down into concrete, like, development work.
Yeah. So okay. It's best for the, if you're not sure, I think it's best to just create the story, and then, Ryan or myself or whoever you might can then to say, work with you and better understand it, and then say, okay, I think this is a feature.
Figure out where it fits into the larger Tetris you guys are doing. Okay, cool. Thank you.
And I just want to add to that, we can easily convert a story to a feature, or a feature to a story, or a bug to a story, or a story to a bug. It's a simple click. And then that just really helps us manage the work more effectively. So a good example is, we had an enhancement story involving the handling of fiscal years with purchase order lines. So if you're dealing with multiple fiscal years and so forth, and we realized, so it's not a huge change in one particular instance, but if you're going to do it for purchase order lines, you also have to do it with purchase orders. You have to think about doing that for invoices. And then you're probably also going to want to look at historical financial data because it's all connected. And before you know it, you're in a feature. But we had a single story. So we just converted that. We could either convert that story to a feature or create a new feature and attach that story to the feature. But you don't need to worry about that. Right. But what once it's there, and importantly, once we know about it, and I that is super, super important that we know about it. So like bring it to the SIG, or you can like add a with a comment and at the PO or something like that, or whatever, just let us know so that when that happens, we know to take a look at it and can you know, triage it, assign it, make sure it gets the right labels and get in the process. Because the absolute worst thing is, and I've seen it happen, and I don't know how many there are out there, but somebody creates a ticket in JIRA. Nobody is mentioned. Nobody's assigned to it. There's no development team assigned. And if it's sitting there in the ether with no PO having any idea that it's supposed to be there, it doesn't really exist. Right. And there are a number of features like that. So I do want to mention that. So please, you know, and, you know, even if you at the wrong PO, we'll pick it up and say, okay, who's the right PO? I'll say, hey, Kalila, this is really more of a metadata thing. Who should this go to type of thing? But at least at that point, we have awareness of it, which means we can work it in.
Great point. And Joe, so Anne-Marie had filters that I use at least once a week. And they're related to exactly what you said. You just stated there's a she created a filter called clean up bugs with no dev. And to Joe's point, if the development team isn't assigned, they don't know it exists, because basically a lot of our filters are based on the backlogs, you know, our sprint backlogs, our user story backlogs rather, are really based on, hey, if this is assigned to my team, I need to look at it. If it's assigned to my development team, I know I need to pay attention. And if it's not, I don't know about it. And so right now, so I look at this once a week to see what issues have no development team. And a lot of times I will send a note. I've sent a note, I think, to Joe recently. Hey, Joe, I think this is you. You know, I think it's Thunderjet. And so I do this quite often. I mean, right now, as the number is 14, this is actually pretty good. She also created another filter about cleanup feature stories and tasks with no development team. Now, this one's a bit larger, and that has nothing. And some of this has to do with security issues that are set to a status that I have yet to figure out how to clear out of this list. But I do see, you know, several, you know, features, and I do see certain stories, and I'll take a look at this, and I will, you know, send a note to a PO and say, hey, I think you should look at this. But again, if they're not assigned to it, or it's not mentioned in a SIG meeting or anything, POs will not be aware of it if it's not assigned to their, if the development team isn't one of their, is not assigned to them. Go ahead.
Okay. So to make sure I'm understanding, if I have a thing, an issue, whatever it is, probably best to, like, you know, as we all know, workshop it with the SIG, at least tag support on the JIRA.
Yes.
But maybe the SIG can also advise about tagging the PO. I'm assuming we would never tag a development team, right? Like, that should probably be the PO doing that, or other folks. Or should we?
I think if it's a story, if it's a defect or something, I think if you... I'm going to speak for myself, and then Joe, I'd love to hear from you. I don't mind if you knew the development team I worked with, related to search was a Spitfire team, and you assigned the dev team to Spitfire, I would have no problem with that, because you've helped me. You've got it in my backlog, and you've taken one step away from me that I don't have to do. So for me, I wouldn't mind. I think what POs would prefer for folks not to do, and I've noticed this, is add the story to a sprint. That's a no-no. That should not be done, because again, the POs really need to talk to their team. They need to talk to you to find out how, you know, the criticality of the issue. And also they have to review the story and make sure they have everything they need to start development. But I mean, what are your thoughts, Joe?
No, I generally agree. If it's acquisitions, it's coming to Thunderjet. Once in a very blue moon, actually this happened fairly recently, there was an issue that was nominally acquisitions, but was actually data import. So there was some confusion about which team it belonged to, but it's perfectly fine to dump it on us and then let us do all the horse trading to figure out whose problem it really is. Because again, even if I'm not personally named, if Thunderjet is mentioned, I'm going to be notified, because I've got, you know, that's my team. So we'll be able to sort that out. And I do agree completely. Please do not assign it to a sprint. The other related thing is, I would humbly ask that you also not assign a priority, but instead add a comment about the importance or urgency of that. And the reason for that is we have a very structured system about how priorities work. And if our devs see a P1 story, that means drop everything right now and work on it right this instant. And normally we like to have a little bit of room, because it's urgent. Even in the case of a service patch, it's going to be a couple of sprints before that gets out. And I would, rather than dropping what they're doing right now and focusing on that, I'd rather have a PO look at it, then meet with them in a scheduled meeting, figure out what needs to happen. And then at that point, we can assign it the priority and get it into a sprint so it can reach that urgency. But what we don't want is drop everything and do it now, and there are times that's appropriate, but yeah, exactly. So those are the two asks. Please don't assign a priority. Please don't assign a sprint, but absolutely do leave a comment indicating the urgency, because that helps us understand.
Yeah, I will say that the way Thunderjet works about the P1s is different than maybe some other teams. So, it may be that some teams are perfectly fine with you adding a priority to it, but I will agree that adding comments to explain why this is painful, or the level of pain a defect is having on your workflows, is really important. And if you can add that comment, that's great. Yeah, that's really good. And I will say that it is definitely, you know, with some development teams, it's really hard to determine who to assign it to. The example is inventory. Inventory is managed by two teams. So we, you know, between the Spitfire and Firebird team and Christine, myself, and Ryan, you know, if it gets assigned to Foliojet, and Ryan realizes it's a Spitfire thing, he knows who to send it to, and vice versa. So we work through those things, because we know that at times it can be a little confusing to determine what areas are Foliojet and what areas are Spitfire when it comes to inventory workflows.
One other thing I'd like to mention quickly is I do get the sense, especially, you know, working with the SIGs, and I don't know how it is in metadata or resource access, but I do get a kind of a sense among some community members that Jira is the development team's tool, and it's a community tool. And I understand the hesitancy in going in and editing tickets, but that's what the comment fields are for. And more comments gives us more insight and more clarity. So please feel free to comment. Yeah. You don't know what to do with it, if you have something to say about a ticket and don't know what to do, leave a comment, because then we can structure it in. But JIRA is a community resource, and feedback on tickets is immensely valuable because not only do we look at that in terms of prioritization, but it also, we have QAs who go through and test everything. And the stuff they test, I mean, there are times I wonder, why are you testing that? Because it makes absolutely no sense. But they still test it because we didn't explicitly say disallow it. So they're looking for every single use case. And additional feedback about saying, this is important because we, gives our QAs insight into, okay, I want to make sure to test this specific case because it's an important case to test.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Fine way to get that. I see what you're saying, but I don't think it's German. No. I don't know if that fits on your yesterday board, Kalila, but
to add comments,
what Joe just said, yeah, the importance of comments.
No, I don't think so, but I, okay, yes, I think we could definitely add that to it. Let's see. So Joe, I, or for folks who were, who weren't in yesterday's meeting, we came up with, we've got a board here, a whiteboard in Confluence with some of the feedback we collected from yesterday's session. So I'm going to add add comments to issues with details as to why this issue, wow, two and issues. Sorry, guys. Issue
and
as to why this. To work flow.
Now we're okay. That with encourage SMEs to add comments.
Encourage, strongly encourage SMEs. Hang on, I'm going to add strongly here. Strongly encourage SMEs to add comments.
Yeah.
And I believe we're at time, aren't we?
I believe so.
All right. Does anybody have another question or anything or comment?
Kalila, I don't want to keep you too long.
No, no.
But I did have a thought just now. Would it help if I had staff actually capture stuff on video and explain it in a walkthrough and then post a link to a video on a JIRA ticket? Yes?
Yes. Helpful? Yes. Oh, yes. That helps tremendously. Okay. That decreases some back and forth. I see Joe nodding his head. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That helps a lot. I was dealing with a data import issue this morning and I watched the video and I was like, oh, okay, I know.
Yes. And sometimes these issues are really hard to like type out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay. I'll start doing that more.
Yeah. I'll just add, thank you.
Our QAs do the same thing for tricky issues where instead of describing it, I'm going to record a video, link it, and just walk you through it. So yeah, this is actually established practice. So that's good.
Thanks for coming, Joe.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Sorry to monopolize the time.
No.
Oh, no, you were great. Very thank useful. Thank you, Joe.
And thank you, Kalila. Miss you. Yeah. Wish you were here.
Ah, thanks. I wish I was here because it's been raining all day here in Boston. But thank you, Peter, for everything. And we'll see if there's actually a POs meeting. I don't know if there will be or not.
Yeah, I've got a conflict, but I saw your poll.
Yeah, nope is winning. I love that emoji.
No offense. Yep.
Yeah, no, none taken at all. But see you.
Hello,
guys.
Kansas.
Oh, hey. See you guys and talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good. Bye. Hey, Dennis, I don't think there's a meeting starting here until 11.
or about 40 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Are you here for that?
We are the meeting. We are the hosts. Yes.
Okay.
We're just checking that everything is set up and works perfectly.
Can you check the screenshot?
Would you mind if we ended this meeting so it closes out the recording and you get a fresh recording for your next one?
Okay.
So we'll both quit and I will restart the meeting on this end as well.
Of course, we will do.
Very good. Thank you.
See you.